mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I neglected to mention also before the service, there are still 3 Sundays open for altar flowers, so please make your donations. Now, throughout history, the church has been sending missionaries into the world. Our Lord first sent 72, but they were going to places he planned to visit. And that's why he told them not to take any money or supplies. They had a limited and rather specific assignment. But after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, his instructions were different. From now on, missionaries would need to take money and supplies. And you can read in the book of Acts and in the epistles how organized and well-prepared these missionaries were to venture out into both the Jewish and the Greek pagan world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, they relied on financial gifts. They did need money. And people provided it willingly. Mission work was never easy then or now. The early church faced a problem that many don't face today, but some do, and that's persecution. The early church was persecuted by both the Jews and the Romans. Many Christians were killed for their faith. Yet the church grew at an astounding rate. Pagans were drawn to Christ when they realized that nobody is willing to die for a fairy tale. Through tribulation, sickness, anguish of heart and mind, God used his word to draw sinners and open heaven to them. In today's gospel, Jesus not only sends out missionaries, but he condemns several wicked cities and calls on them to repent. You know, calling on people to repent is not a popular thing today, is it? When the call comes to repent, you know what happens. Christians get condemned for being judgmental and ignorant. It's fashionable for people who know no other Bible verses except the quote from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not." They do so in a snarky, dismissive way. So let me explain what that means and what it doesn't mean. Jesus does not mean you cannot judge between right or wrong. Doesn't mean you cannot serve in a court of law as a judge or jury or advocate. Our Lord means that we must first examine our own hearts, repent of our own sins before we call on others. Didn't Jesus say, before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the log out of your own? The Bible condemns self-righteous judgments, especially by people who are unwilling to repent themselves. Both St. Augustine and Martin Luther taught that we should always put the best construction on other people's actions before you know their intentions. And Luther enshrined that in his explanation to the 8th commandment. We should always put the best construction on everything, or in modern language, explain everything in the kindest way. Now, to lovingly show a person their sin and to call them to repent, well, that's a good thing. Wouldn't it be terrible if someone you knew or loved was going on a path of self-destruction and you didn't try to do something to stop it? Let me give you an example from history about how the Christian influence has made our world a better place. And this is only one of many examples I can give. In the year 390 AD, the Roman Emperor Theodosius was a Christian. But here's what happened. A mob in Thessalonica, to which Paul had written 2 epistles, a mob in Thessalonica lynched a Roman general because the general arrested a popular athlete, a charioteer. I guess athletes have always seemed to get a pass. But a mob gathered and killed that general for arresting the charioteer. The mob was wrong to do that, and punishment was justified. But Theodosius, a Christian, wanted to come down hard to prevent anything like that from happening again. So one day the citizens gathered at the circus. That wasn't clowns and elephants in those days. It was an outdoor venue for athletics and theater. And then Theodosius let his troops loose. 7,000 people were slaughtered in the space of 3 hours when Theodosius ordered that slaughter to take place in retribution for the lynching of a general. Ambrose, St. Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, where the emperor lived, was immediately notified. And he demanded that the emperor repent of his sin. You see, the church always uses God's word to call sinners to repent. Not to indulge them in their sins, but to repent. The church has never indulged. The church calls for repentance. And Theodosius refused to repent. Ambrose excommunicated him. The bishop personally barred the emperor from entering the cathedral and receiving Holy Communion. This had never been done before. Bold, dangerous, and unprecedented. No clergyman had ever stood up to a king or emperor like that before, but Ambrose was firm. Theodosius sinned. Theodosius refused to repent. Therefore, he was excommunicated. And that excommunication had its intended effect. Soon after, Theodosius came to Ambrose on his knees, confessing his sin and begging for forgiveness. Now, some might say, this was just a power struggle between the church and the state. No, this was Jesus at work. Our Lord gave the church the keys to heaven, to open or to close heaven, and no one is above the law. The rich and the powerful are not exempt from repentance. Remember what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, himself a very powerful man? Jesus said, "You have no power other than that which has been given to you from above." The same holds for kings, presidents, and leaders to this day. Now, why did I bring up this story? Well, we can take a lesson from the early Christian missionaries who spread the gospel, and the early church organized society around the gospel. It didn't happen overnight, but the world has become a better place for the efforts of the Christian church. Now, the church never organized people into political action groups. They never forced Christianity on the unwilling, but they never shied away from teaching and preaching God's word of law and gospel. They trusted it to do the great things it promised. And God's word is powerful and effective. It always accomplishes what God intends for it. All we need to do is use it and trust it. Even the devil himself could not resist the power of the gospel to bring light to darkness and mercy to brutality. The first 72 missionaries preached the word, and they saw devils flee. And Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning. Yeah, the demons know the gospel and they tremble. This 4th of July weekend should remind us that our country is a part of the Christian world. Christianity has made the world a better place. Again, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. And I know there are many who want to sweep this Christian influence away. Today, Christians who support biblical teachings and proclaim it to the world are under blistering attack. Just look at how God's design for marriage and morality and even the sanctity of life are being challenged. What took centuries to build up is only taking a short time to tear down. Yet people to this very day pagans and others, they are beating a path to the Christian nations of Europe and the United States. They come to benefit from our culture, which has been influenced by Christianity. Ours is a culture of mercy, kindness, and freedom. And these blessings come where the gospel of Jesus has free course. Maybe these people who come here will come to the faith. Maybe they won't. But I will say this. You will not see people who hate the church and protest God's design wanting to beat a path to live in other parts of the world where the gospel is gone. They want to stay in this part of the world that has been influenced by Christianity. I don't see anybody wanting to move to the Middle East. For century upon century, the gospel has been creating faith, forgiving sins, and granting eternal life. And this gospel has transformed nations and cultures and lives. From the 72 that Jesus sent out to the apostles, to the missionary journeys of St. Paul, to this present day, Christians have willingly and eagerly spoken of God's love to sinners. They have told how God sent his Son into human flesh, paying the wages of sin in his own body and rising from the dead. The good works of mercy they did, they were for everyone, believer or not. Even non-believers have benefited from the Christian gospel influencing society. Christians sincerely believe that since the gospel has changed our lives, it will change the lives of others as well. Christians believe with all their heart, soul, and might the words of Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This message has changed the world for the better. Thank God for it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.